Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. And today I'm speaking with Sean Folkson. He is the CEO of Knight Food Holdings, Inc. The stock symbol is NGTF. Sean, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jack. Happy to be here.
Sean, your company has a very interesting name. So can you tell us what you guys do?
Yeah, sure. So Knight Food. I don't know if you're a nighttime snacker personally, but I know most people are. Statistics tell us that over 85% of adults between the ages of 18 and 54 snack regularly at night. And as you can imagine, the most popular choices, you know, it's not carrot sticks or celery. People at night, they get the most powerful and least healthy cravings of the day at a time when willpower is at its weakest. So people tend to be reaching for cookies, chips, ice cream, and candy. Those are the top four categories that people snack on at night. And so at Knight Food, we want to give people better, healthier options. If you're going to be snacking before bed, you want to make the right choices so that you don't impair your sleep. Just as, you know, if you're going to go run a race or participate, you know, do something athletic, you know, you're going to want to eat certain things and avoid certain other things. It's the same thing before sleep, which is a critical process. And, you know, what most people tend to be eating at night, even sometimes when they reach for, you know, healthier or better for you or even organic options, that doesn't mean that those things are sleep friendly. So at Knight Food, we manufacture and distribute snacks that are sleep friendly. And what's going on right now that's really, really exciting is the national launch of Knight Food ice cream. Ice cream is the second most popular nighttime snack. And we're super excited. We just are wrapping up manufacturing today. I was in the plant on Monday, and we posted some video. And everybody thinks it's amazing that that this is really just happening now. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to start hitting shelves in some of the big supermarket chains across the country.
So interesting. So essentially, you're developing snacks, ice cream. So things which so is the idea that it helps you go to sleep, or it prevents you from not, like, what is it?
Right, that's a great question. So you know, the easiest way to draw this in the mind of the consumer is to think about decaf, right? So if you're somebody at night and you feel like you want a cup of coffee, for instance, you would theoretically know that if you're going to drink coffee, which is loaded with caffeine, that's not good for your sleep. So instead of drinking regular coffee, you would drink decaf. And in drinking decaf, what you're doing is you're eliminating something that's harmful. So that's a big part of what we're doing. I mean, certainly there are ingredients in our snacks as well that do support better quality sleep, but it's not like there's no sleep aids in there. You know, we don't have melatonin or Ambien or something like that. I mean, you could eat some of our ice cream and go operate some heavy equipment if that's what you like to do at night, or whatever, you know, do some work. It's not going to knock you out, but it's about consuming a snack, consuming ice cream that's not going to be sleep disruptive and that will be sleep supportive. But it doesn't make you go to sleep. We just want to kind of enhance the process.
Got it.
When we're marketing, what people will notice, we don't really talk much about the ingredients. I mean, look, we've got some of the leading sleep experts in the world on our team, including Dr. Michael Bruce, who is a regular on the Today Show, and Dr. Oz. I mean, this guy's all over the national media. So, you know, there's a lot of science behind what we formulate, but to the consumer, we are simply a mainstream product that if they are eating ice cream at night or snacking at night, this is a better, healthier option. You know, the less we talk about milligrams and specific minerals and ingredients, I think the better off we are. Certainly our scientific team, you know, we can have that conversation. There's real validity to the science, but the reason we don't talk about it very much is because, you know, just like Apple doesn't really talk about, you know, how many megahertz their processors are, you know, they talk about the lifestyle and what you can do.
Right.
And we just think that's a more powerful way, to build and market the brand. We don't want to overwhelm people with functionality when really, They want ice cream at night that's going to taste good, and it's less guilt if they know that it's also sleep friendly.
I guess that's the most important thing is how does stuff taste? So, now anybody who's listening to this, they may not be able to see this, but your packaging, on the website, I mean, it's really good packaging. It's like you have these kind of like, well, monster. It's very clever. It's a very,
Thank you.
yeah. So how does
Yeah,
it
that's the
taste?
Crave Monster. That's the Crave Monster that's on our packaging. The Crave Monster lives inside each of us, and that's kind of what drives us at night to make these unhealthy choices. And most people do have a Crave Monster on the inside, and we bring that to life. The product tastes amazing. We had some national media that started a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure everybody listening is familiar with the magazine Fast Company. They did an article where we sent ice cream to the author to review, and she wrote a review, and she said, "Look, it's as tasty as Ben and Jerry's." I don't know if she mentioned it as clearly as I would have liked, but what was not mentioned was that, yeah, we're as tasty as Ben and Jerry's, but we've got about 70% fewer calories, 65% less sugar, 50% more protein. We've got more fiber. We don't use any artificial sweeteners or any sugar alcohols to sweeten. So we worked with one of the leading ice cream labs in the country, along with our team of sleep experts, to develop this product. And consumers are not going to have to sacrifice on any front here. They're not going to have to sacrifice on taste. There's a lot of other products out there that have gotten a significant amount of market share. There's a brand out there called Halo Top, which a lot of people would be familiar with. They basically launched in 2013, and reports are that about 12 months ago, so this is four and a half years after launch, they were in talks with ice cream giant Unilever for a $2 billion acquisition. So here's an ice cream company that started a few years ago, and they're valued at $2 billion. I mean, they're selling a ton of ice cream, and we wanted to make a product that tastes better than that, is creamier than that, and we think we've done that. I know I'm kind of throwing down the gauntlet, but we think that consumers have shown that if something better comes along, they will gravitate to it. They will give it a try. But most importantly, if people had to sacrifice on taste, we don't think our value proposition would be nearly as compelling as it is now, knowing that we've got a product that just it blows away all the other better for you ice creams and lower calorie ice creams in terms of taste and texture.
So what is your product line consist of right now? Is it you have
So,
anything besides ice cream or
yeah, we do. I mean, it's interesting you asked about that. So, and you wonder why this guy only talking about the ice cream when they've got these other products. So the ice cream is in eight flavors, and people can go to the site or look at some of our news releases and see we've got some really great flavors.
What kind of
The
flavors?
other product, yeah. So midnight chocolate, full moon vanilla, cold brew decaf. That's our coffee flavor. It's actually decaf. After dinner mint chip. Let's see if I don't forget any of them because we've got cookies and dreams, milk and cookie dough. Cherry Eclipse, and then Bed and Breakfast. And Bed and Breakfast is maple ice cream with chunks of waffles in there. So we got a lot of funky names, a lot of really interesting flavors. And that's obviously and honestly what I'm most excited about. But anybody going to to a website called buynightfood.com or anybody looking us up on Amazon, they'll see that we also have nutrition bars. They're very well reviewed. People do like them. The challenge for us over the last couple of years, we kept remarketing and rebranding and figuring out, how do we make these nutrition bars catch on? And I think the real lesson that we learned was that people don't eat nutrition bars at night, right? What do they say? Cookies, chips, ice cream, and candy. That's what people eat at night. And when we tried to switch people to a different format, to a nutrition bar, it's not an easy switch. There's just too much friction, in the consumer. So we decided that launching the ice cream where we eliminate that friction, that sacrifice, people don't want to sacrifice. So when we eliminate the need to sacrifice away from the comfort of ice cream that people really enjoy, that's why we think this is going to take off like wildfire. So anybody, looking at the stock and looking at our revenues and saying, well, why did they only do $100,000 last quarter or you know, whatever, you know, that's what we believe is the reason. And that's why we think the ice cream is going to be so explosive, because we're tackling this huge, massive problem that consumers do want to solve. All along, we were offering them a solution that didn't really have that product market fit, but the ice cream, we think, obviously will. And as a result, it's going to be like, you know, just, I don't know, letting a spring, you know, pop. I mean, we just think that's what's going to happen here.
Right. Okay. I mean, that's fair enough. You know, a lot of companies, what's important that you recognize what the consumer really wants. There's a lot of great companies today that, you know, their first product wasn't great. It might have been dud. And then the second or third one is the one that, you know, they're known for today.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we're really confident that that's the case. We're getting so much great enthusiasm from the media. We're getting amazing enthusiasm from consumers. We're running some test ads on Facebook, and people are just really, you know, they can't wait. You know, it's really amazing when you're launching a product that people say they just can't wait for it. We know that people are going to run out there and try it when it's available. We also expect them to share it with their friends, you know, to tell people about it. And the other interesting thing is, you know, we think that a lot of these consumers are going to see this product, they're going to try it, and they're going to see how life change. You know, I don't want to overstate this, but you know, we'll call it life changing.
Profound.
Hey, this could be the next Chobani. This could be the next 5-Hour Energy in their mind, right?
Right.
This could be the next, you know, Talenti or Halo Top, and they're going to run out there, I think, and people are going to want to own equity. I mean, I've got a lot of people that have told us, hey, you know, how can I invest? So we think that the distribution and the sales and all the media buzz that we get is going to help pick up a lot of people that want to, you know, and I'm not talking about traders necessarily. I'm talking about retail
investors, right?
You know,
right.
They have their E-Trade account, they own their blue chips, but you know what? They might run out and they might grab, you know, $1,000 or $5,000 worth and just sit on it because they believe that in 2 or 3 years, you know, we can be valued at $1 billion because we're going to be in every supermarket, you know, in the country, just like we saw happen with Talenti a few years ago, and then with Halo Top even more recently. I mean, there's been two ice cream, basically startups, in the last 10 years or so that have achieved $1 billion valuations from starting from a dead standstill, pretty much. And so it's not like we would be the first or anything. I mean, this has been done a couple of times already. And I think that consumers that fall in love with the product, you know, will potentially drive some excitement about the investment opportunity as well.
Now, Sean, do you have the stock symbol printed on the box, on the package?
We do.
Good. That's a good start. So let me ask you this. In terms of these ice cream brands that, you know, turn into, you know, $1 billion brands,
yes.
I'm not familiar with Halo Top. How did that story happen? How did they, you know?
Yeah. So that's the amazing thing. I've spoken to so many people over the last few weeks, and I mentioned this, and they're not familiar with Halo Top. And, but yeah, Halo Top, you know, I don't remember the exact statistic, but at some point in 2017, they surpassed both Ben and Jerry's and Häagen-Dazs and everything else as the number one selling pint, I believe, in supermarkets all across the country. And the fact that you've never heard of this company, and I would argue that a lot of the investors out there probably have never heard of it, but, you know, you can just Google Halo Top Unilever. Unilever is the ice cream giant that owns Ben & Jerry's. They're also the ones that acquired Talenti for what we believe we've been told is over $1 billion. You know, you can Google that, and articles from January of 2018 will come up about this $2 billion deal that was in the works with Unilever. And, you know, the way they did it, as I believe, and I've studied them, the way they did it is, you know, they came out with a really unique product. It was something that was super low calorie relative to the other stuff that was out there. And consumers started flocking to it because it was something remarkable. It was something that when a consumer learned about it, they thought it was interesting enough and remarkable enough, literally remarkable, that they would share it on social media. They would tell their friends, hey, you guys have to check this out, you know, give it a try. And so that's how they did it. And the fact that, you know, so many people still have not heard of them, and yet you know, they're this huge player now in the ice cream space, kind of speaks to the fact that you don't need to take over the world to hit a $1 billion valuation. You know, you could be famous to, you know, a small percentage of the population and still carry that kind of value. And we think it's realistic. I mean, everybody talks about being a household brand, and we certainly think we can achieve that. But, you know, this, I mean, here's Halo Top, which, you know, is valued at $2 billion. And, you know, maybe 60 or 80% of the consumers out there have never even heard of it.
So the thing that I want to kind of know is how did they build that business? In other words, is this something that you could replicate? Like, what was involved in their rollout, and what kind of capital, you know, needs, that, you know, what's, are you able to duplicate that type of path?
Well, I would say replicate, not duplicate. You know, we see what they did in terms of, you know, utilizing social media and tremendous PR. So what happens is, you know, if you just create an ice cream, you know, that's, you know, Jack's Delicious Ice Cream, right? And you can put it out there and you're going to say, oh, this is the most delicious ice cream. Well, you know, it's not really compelling to the consumer, but it's also not really interesting to the media. But when Halo Top came along and they came out with, you know, 300 calories in the whole pint, whereas a serving of a Ben & Jerry's or a Haagen-Dazs might, you know, depending on the flavor, have much more than 300 calories or more than 300 calories in a single serving. And there's four of those in a pint. So basically, you know, they came along with this thing that was, you know, 70% fewer calories than the other guys. And what happened is that was really remarkable to the media. And so the media caught on to it, and they started getting a ton of publicity, including a famous article where I think an author from GQ, I think it was GQ, they said, hey, you know, can I live on this? This is a healthy ice cream. Can I live on it for, I don't know if it was 10 days or a month, probably 10 days, eating nothing but Halo Top. And so then, you know, that was, I don't know if it was in the magazine or on the website, but things like that come up because you've got a remarkable product. So we believe that the amount of publicity that we're going to be able to get, because our product is remarkable in its way, and the team that we have, that we've got celebrity influencers, you know, we've got five NFL players on our team, including Jarvis Landry from the Cleveland Browns and Tyler Eifert from the Cincinnati Bengals. We've got Bobby Portis from NBA's Chicago Bulls, and we've got some golfers, Rocco Mediate, and champion golfers, Angela Stanford. So
what about the Kardashians? We've got a lot of that.
You know what? Here's what's going to happen. I mean, you know, what's going to start happening is, you know, there's going to be people out there. There's going to be celebrities out there that try it, and they're going to get in touch with us, I'm guessing. And, you know, they're going to be posting about it. They're consumers too. You know, I can't promise that it's going to be the Kardashians or this one or that one, but, you know, within 2019, there's going to be a whole bunch of celebrities, I'm sure, that have night food in their freezer. And so the goal is to replicate that. But the other thing that we have that really, I don't know that a lot of people put the right weight on it, but they will in the next few months, is Dr. Michael Bruce, who is known as the sleep doctor. And, you know, he was just on the Today Show on Monday. You know, every couple of months he's on the Today Show. He's been on Dr. Oz 40 times. He's the go-to expert in the media for sleep. So when anything happens and they want to talk about it, they'll reach out to Dr. Bruce. We're expecting, I mean, it's unknown, right? But we're expecting a tremendous amount of interest. I mean, the day that Fast Company article came out, we got a call from one of the national morning shows located in New York. And they asked, hey, if you guys can get us some ice cream today before 2 p.m., we will send it home with the anchors and we'll talk about it on the air tomorrow. We didn't have any ice cream in New York at that time. And so we agreed that we would reconnect after the holiday break. So we're talking to them now. But, you know, we've got something that's interesting and the media will talk about it. And that's what Halo Top had, the X factor that they had, was that the media was fascinated with it. And when the media is fascinated, you get all this free attention. And then the consumer is fascinated. So we think the same thing will happen here. So it'll be for slightly different reasons, but we think it's going to be a pretty similar result.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I, you know, I haven't tasted the product, so I don't know, you know, what it tastes like. But the packaging, you know, looking at the packaging, the whole concept, it does have that, you know, X factor, as you'd call it, because it's just, it's clever. It's something, it looks like a fun product. It looks, I mean, looking at the packaging, it looks fun. That's kind of the,
right.
That's the kind of the sense I get from it. So it's,
And that's what we want to convey, Jack, because at night, you know, people don't want to be, people want that little emotional reward. They don't want to be thinking about heavy handed, functional ingredients. Is this going to be better for sleep? I mean, we just want to let people off the hook.
Right.
You know, they're already eating billions of, I mean, you know, here's something we haven't talked about, you know, the consumers spend $1 billion a week on snacks that are consumed between dinner and bedtime, right? 44% of all snacking happens after dinner, before bed, and it's $118 billion market. So it's about $1 billion a week being spent. And again, cookies, chips, ice cream, and candy are the most popular. So it's not like we need to encourage people to snack at night. They're already doing it. We're giving them a better option. And, you know, I liken it also to NyQuil, right? 50 years ago, NyQuil came out, and there were other cold medicines, of course, right? But they were all just cold medicines. Here's cold, just like there's ice cream now. Here's your cold medicine. Take your cold medicine. And NyQuil came out and said, hey, before bed, you don't want all the stuff that's in those other cold medicines. You need something different. You need something that's formulated differently because you're going to take it before you want to go to sleep. And NyQuil came along, and within three years, they were the number one selling cold medicine in the country. And 4.5 decades later, as I understand it, they still hold that position. And what they did is they said, look, we don't care. We don't care what you take at 11 a.m. or 2 p.m. when you have the sniffles. But before bed, we're going to dominate that day part, that space. And as a result, we're going to be able to take over the world. Now, our experts and distribution partners, you know, we estimate that about 80% of at-home ice cream consumption happens within a couple of hours of bedtime. Okay, people aren't eating, you know, Halo Top for breakfast. They're not eating Talenti for lunch, right? It's happening in front of the TV before bed. So if you figure that 80% of that ice cream consumption is happening at night, and we come along and say, look, this is the nighttime ice cream, you know, we think consumers will be really excited. But at the same time, you know, we didn't want to do it in a way that's overly functional. People in their bones know if they're eating ice cream at night, whether it's a better for you option or full fat, you know, super premium, they know in their bones that they probably should not be doing what they're doing. And yet the spoon still goes into the ice cream and into their mouth and into the pint and into their mouth. So we're just letting people off the hook. And our branding is a big part of that. Our fun branding is a big part of that.
So how is the manufacturing? First, I want to ask you about the manufacturing, the production,
sure.
Distribution. How is that handled? I mean, is this national right now?
Well, so like I said, we just literally started production on Monday. So what is today? Friday. So we started production on Monday. I mean, everything to date has been samples, handmade samples. That's what went out to the Fast company. Author, that's what we've used in our meetings with all these supermarket chains. So the production happens at a co-packer, and then the ice cream gets, you know, shipped to a cold storage warehouse. And then when we get orders from the supermarkets or from the distributors, you know, we throw it on the truck and it ships on out. So, we expect to have a national footprint as this year goes on. There are certainly certain supermarket chains that when you get in there, you're national overnight. And then there's other chains that are very big and important chains that are regional. And, we're talking to dozens of chains. Some we've got commitments that we're going in. Some we've gotten, follow-up meetings. Some have told us the buyer from one of the biggest supermarket chains in the country literally emailed me a couple of weeks ago and said, when she requested samples and I told her they were on the way, she said, I'm going to paraphrase. She said, I'm super excited to try it. By the way, I had this exact idea for an ice cream a couple of years ago. I'm glad somebody is finally making my dream come true. So that's a supermarket that if I mentioned that name, everybody would know You know, and they're in every, pretty much, I guess, every state in the country. And, you know, we're pushing. They normally do a review and a reset, and, you know, once a year. And that would be later on this year. In other words, they reevaluate everything in their set and they decide what products to take out and what new products to put in. But in some certain situations, these retailers will say, hey, this thing is important enough where even though it's not time for us to do our normal reset, we're going to cut these guys in. So we're pushing for that with a couple of chains. But even if we don't get cut in with some of these chains, you know, we know that as this 12-month sales cycle comes around, we expect to get into every target, every supermarket that we're targeting in the country, you know, within that 12-month sales cycle. And for any investors out there, you know, that are intrigued by what we're doing, they should probably pay attention and watch the development over the next several weeks and months, because I think a lot of perceptions are going to be changed and people are really going to be forced to reevaluate our current valuation.
And so what kind of distribution agreements do you have in place right now? So in other words, when could we see some, you know, revenues from the ice cream, you know, start showing up on the, on the books?
Yeah. The first shipments will be happening probably later this month. So probably in, what is today? 10th. So yeah, I figure probably within 2 weeks, the first shipments are going to go out. You know, in terms of revenues, the real substantial revenues are going to start to come over time as we build up more points of distribution and more reorders in the product is selling. So, you know, that's really something that's going to build throughout 2019. There is always the possibility if one of the bigger chains that we've been talking to decides to cut us in and they need to, you know, they could order $500,000 worth of product easily. And that would be pretty substantial for us. But it's more likely that, you know, we're going to pick up a couple of hundred store chain here and, you know, a 60 store chain there. And so these POs are going to be for $15,000, $40,000, $60,000. And as we pick up more and more points of distribution, you know, throughout 2019, the revenue will start to grow. By this time next year, so early January of next year, you know, if we've secured distribution in all of the chains that we're targeting, you know, we expect to be looking at going into over 10,000 supermarkets plus other outlets such as, you know, maybe some drug chains and things like that. And, you know, it's very easy to imagine being in enough points of distribution where we could reasonably expect, you know, revenues $30 to $50 million for 2020. I'm not offering guidance or formal guidance at this point, but I'm just saying that based on the number of outlets that we believe we can get into, you know, that would be a reasonable revenue expectation for 2020.
Okay. And are you right now the distribution, is it regional? Like where can people pick up this ice cream, let's say in you know, March of this year?
Right. Well, we haven't made that public yet, but there's a distribution, a distributor called Kahee, which is one of the largest, they are national and they service accounts all across the country. So as more and more stores decide they want to pick it up, they can get it through that distributor. And so in essence, we've got, I would say, national distribution, in terms of we're working with a national distributor, but really that doesn't matter to the consumer until it's available on their shelf, right? Nobody cares that the distributor is servicing the whole country. If, you know, if they live in, you know, whatever, Massachusetts, and it's not available there, it doesn't matter. So, but what, you know, a lot of these retailers are not going to want us to make public, hey, we're going into this chain in 2 months. That's not how they operate. So you're really not allowed to announce where you're going to be until you're on shelf. So, you know, once we hit shelves, we're going to be able to start announcing. So that'll be, you know, probably the second half, you know, mid-February to the second half of February. And then from there, you know, we expect to be adding new chains, you know, every few weeks to the point where, you know, we're expecting to pick up thousands and thousands of distribution points during 2019. But in terms of geographically where, you know, it could be that, you know, we're available in Chicago and New York, but not Philly, right? It's not like there's going to necessarily be a pattern or a rollout. It just depends on, you know, where are the chains that are willing to jump the gun and say yes, and where are the chains that are going to, you know, wait a little bit longer.
Okay. Sean, can you tell us about, you know, your background and any other, you know, key members of the team?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm kind of the guy, you know, who's the face of this thing. You know, I'm a nighttime snacker for a long time, and, you know, I love ice cream like everybody else, but, you know, the real brains of the operation, you know, I mentioned Dr. Michael Bruce. We've got a great team of sleep experts, including Dr. Michael Grandner and, Dr. Lauren Brock. And they were really helpful in the formulation. But in terms of actually growing the company and expanding distribution, you know, there's a little company I mentioned earlier in the call named Unilever. They are kind of a global giant in ice cream. They own Breyers and Klondike and Good Humor and Talenti. Jim Christensen, who we brought on board back in the middle of 2018 to facilitate this ice cream launch, is the former VP of sales, of ice cream sales for Unilever. So he was brought on board specifically to help establish the distribution, and the strategy has been a tremendous asset so far. Unilever is also the company that was reported to be in talks with Halo Top for the $2 billion acquisition. And so, you know, Jim's been in the business. He knows everybody and obviously very well connected. So before people start looking at me and saying, what does this guy know about ice cream? You know, hopefully people can hear the enthusiasm in my voice. They can see the team I've been able to put together. But when it comes to how we're going to execute this thing, you know, look at Jim Christensen and look at his experience in the ice cream industry, and everybody should be able to put two and two together if they're paying attention.
Okay. So what are the key milestones that you have over the next, 12 months investors should keep an eye on?
Sure. Well, we haven't spoken about the MJ Munchies side of the business at all. So Night Food Holdings has two operating companies. One is Night Food, which we spent this whole call talking about. The other is MJ Munchies, which is in the marijuana edibles space. The reason we're not talking about that right now, maybe we'll do it on a future call, is we're in the middle of some pretty important negotiations that, you know, depending on how it works out, it's going to change the direction a little bit or impact the direction of the company. So it's really not much I could say about that part of it. But in terms of milestones for Night Food, like I mentioned, I mean, the first thing is we're getting into one of the most influential regional supermarket chains in the country. That's who's getting shipped in a couple of weeks. From there, you know, you build data. And once you're able to show the other chains, look, here's what we did at this one chain. And again, it's a big regional chain that's very influential. Then it's easy for everybody to decide to put that in. So I would say, you know, our goal for the next 12 months is to, you know, not only build our distribution, you know, into the thousands and thousands of outlets, but at this point next year to be going into whichever of the major supermarket chains we choose. I'm not going to mention any names, but obviously there's a handful that people probably know, you know, that are top 10 chains. And if we do this right, we're going to be able to do that. And, you know, the revenue numbers that I mentioned for 2020 will follow.
Okay. What's your vision for the company, over the next, let's say, 3 years, assuming everything works out?
Yeah. So again, focusing only on Night Food brand, you know, I can see us, first of all, adding more flavors. You know, we're launching with 8 flavors, which is a great mix for us. Some of the other brands out there, you know, might have, 3 or 4 times that amount, you know, 20, 25, 30 flavors. So we would like to certainly grow out our list of SKUs to the point where we can occupy, you know, 2 or 3 shelves in these major supermarket chains, in their freezers. Also potentially, you know, doing some dairy-free options that, you know, would cater to people that either have lactose issues or that want to live the vegan lifestyle. And so, you know, it's about growing our product mix in the ice cream. If you go a little bit further down the road, certainly, you know, we think there are opportunities in other snack formats once we grow out the ice cream space. But, you know, typically what happens when you have a company like this that's growing super fast, like we're expecting to, and dominating a space, you know, the other piece of the puzzle is, you know, who's going to come along and say that they want to dominate this nighttime space and acquire the brand. Because again, while there's great things that can happen in the ice cream space, and we can grow this to significant revenues and significant valuation, the bigger category is nighttime nutrition. And I talked about how many people are snacking at night. We talked about how much they're spending. And, you know, the other piece, you know, that we didn't talk about or that I didn't mention was that, you know, there's this category is coming, this whole nighttime nutrition category. Mintel has projected it now for as one of their key category changing trends. So, you know, we believe that there not only will likely be some competition, but there would likely be some overtures and some courtships from some of the larger consumer goods players, both in and out of the ice cream space, that would want to acquire this brand and then extend it as a platform brand, potentially into other snack formats.
Okay, and so you mentioned briefly, you know, again, it's just a projection. If assuming everything works this year, you could be doing what, 30 to 50 million revenues in 2020.
Well, I've been instructed to not talk about the revenue as much as about the distribution points. So you know what we're looking at is, you know, when you're in enough supermarkets. And you're selling enough product, then the revenue comes from that. So, you know, it's all about growing the distribution. You know, you can be relatively successful at an outlet, you know, if you're selling 3 units per flavor per store per week. But at the same time, you know, if a brand really catches fire, you could be selling 8, 10, or 12, and the revenue numbers could be through the roof. So, you know, it's hard to predict. You know, I think that this thing is going to really catch on and get explosive. But, you know, the distribution points are something that's more in your control. The velocity with which the product leaves the shelves can be quite unpredictable. One appearance on, you know, some of these major news TV outlets, you know, one, you know, you asked about Kardashian, right? So one tweet from the right person or Instagram post, hey, I just discovered this, it's amazing. And all of a sudden, you know, you can't even keep that graph on the page. So, you know, I'm not really thinking about the revenue as much as if we establish the distribution that we need to establish, the revenue would have to be around a certain baseline for us to be not kicked out of the store. But I think what people will see over the next few months is that the product is going to catch on. It's not going to get kicked out. And at that point, we'll be more comfortable offering formal guidance once we establish some sales velocity.
Okay. So my last question.
Sales velocity metrics, you know, I should say.
Okay. Sure. My last question is, you know, in your opinion, you know, what are the top 3 reasons investors should consider buying your stock today?
Well, you know, I think a couple of them are things that I just mentioned most recently. One is that the nighttime snack category is something that's coming. People are consuming a ton of stuff at night. And we think that as we establish this company in the long term, there's going to be a lot of strategic jockeying for position in this nighttime snack space. So for the long-term investor, I think that's what they can look forward to. In the short term, you know, I mean, I got to tell you that, you know, we've got some amazing news I can't make public at this time, but there's an announcement coming in less than a month. And it's not distribution news, but in my opinion, it's actually more exciting, right? Because I believe that in the coming months throughout 2019-2020, for that full selling cycle, we're going to be in every distribution outlet we want to be in and every one we choose to target. So I view each individual distribution agreement as an inevitability. But this coming announcement, I think it'll take the level of confidence that I have and help everybody not only understand it, but to share it. So I'm sorry, but yes, for three things. So one is that the nighttime snack category is coming. Another one is, you know, for people that are thinking more short term, it would be that, you know, we've got some amazing news coming out that I think is going to really blow people away. And then in the mid-range, you know, people should look and see this ice cream is a category where we've seen a couple of companies, you know, that were differentiated come in and grow to really tremendous valuations in a matter of a couple of years. And, you know, we're modeling ourselves after that, and I think we're going to be able to accomplish it.
Well, on that note, Sean, I want to thank you, and we'll look forward to following the story and maybe tasting the ice cream in the months ahead.
Yeah, I'd be happy to get some samples out to you. And that's the other thing. I mean, anybody out there that's thinking about an investment that may want to try the ice cream, even though we may not be available nationally or in every location, you know, right away, the product will be available within the next few weeks online. People can order. Ice cream does get shipped. That's how we get it out, you know, for samples to the supermarkets. You know, it's not that big of a deal. There's a website and a company that we're partnering with that specializes in mail order ice cream. And everybody will be able to go to our website within a few weeks at buynightfood.com. And if they want to try it, you know, they can order some pints and really taste what they're going to be investing in. And I think that'll be a huge, huge uplifting thing. And if I could go back, the fourth reason that an investor might want to invest, when the consumers start trying the ice cream and they understand that this is a public company and this is their new favorite brand and they can be a part owner in that, I think that that's going to get a lot of excitement. And I think that once somebody then buys the stock, now they're going to be more motivated to share with their friends because they want to help grow the company. So I think that the public nature of what we're doing combined with this broad distribution consumer product, it's going to feed off of itself and create an upward spiral.
Great. We'll talk to you in a few months.
Great. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Sean.